Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
I'm Helen.
And I'm back.
It's right. Philip, by the way.
So in a previous episode, we sat down with Helen and Phil and got a little bit of a recap on all of the logistics and events that led up to their engagement. So now you are formally engaged, and we have you back now to dig a little bit deeper and talk more personally about your relationship and how you guys came to a place when you knew you were ready for marriage.
Ooh.
Yikes.
So last time was the tangible logistical things of the engagement. Now we're going into the feels of how it came to be.
Ooh. Do you want me to start?
Well,
fiancé? Well, okay, so I feel like my relationship journey to get here was kind of unique. Before Philip, I was a serial monogamist. So I had a boyfriend between the ages of 16 and 25 every year, other than the age of 19. So 19 was the only time I was ever single from 16 to 25.
Wait, so 9 years.
I always had a boyfriend. Well, but crazy. Only three. There were only three guys. It's not like every year there was a new one. So pretty lengthy. Philip and I met when I was a sophomore in college.
2008.
Yes, 2008. Yeah. We kept in touch, not physically, but we like kept in touch contact-wise
as friends.
Yeah. Because you guys were both dating other people at the time, right?
We were. Yeah. And so it wasn't until I moved to LA and I was 26 years old, and that's when we started dating.
Technically, you were 25. You moved in October of 2013.
Wow, geez. Yes.
I remember these dates very clearly. And then obviously you turned 26.
Correct.
Wait, so you started dating her as soon as she got to LA?
That's where it gets kind of like cloudy, I guess. It's not like as soon as she landed, like we were dating, but it definitely was like, you know, when I found out that she had moved to LA, I was like, oh yeah, like we should meet up, you know, welcome to the city kind of thing. But we did quickly, you know, become very close, I guess. Mm-hmm. I tried to resist it at the beginning. Like, well, I wanted to give her time while she was here. I was also coming out of a relationship, so I wanted some time there. But
yeah, I feel like timing-wise, it seemed very perfect because, like I said, like I was never single, and I was finally single, and you were as well. And so timing-wise, it seemed like it was perfect. We were like, oh, this is meant to be. We met like 10 years ago, and we're now back together, and this could be a thing, right? There's a possibility for a thing. There's a lot of variables, like location-wise. We were on East and West Coast. We're on the same coast. We're both single.
I mean, like, barely single, though. Like, you literally broke up with your boyfriend, like...
Yes.
On the flight over.
Yeah. So it's not like you were like, oh, man, I've been single for a while. Yeah, I'm ready to find myself.
Right, kind right.
of. No, like... But yes, I guess technically we were not totally bound by anyone, yeah.
Correct, yeah. But I feel like even though timing felt like it was right, it was very not right for us. So the first 3 years that we were dating, we were, like, on and off. For like 3 or 4 breakups.
It's crazy when you say it like that, where it's like, for the first 3 years, we were on and off. Like,
it's a long time.
Like, that's a long, like when I remember when we were going through it, like I was becoming so ashamed of just how long it was lasting. And my metric was like college years. I was like, we've been going back and forth from freshman year to junior year. Like, and when you see it like that, I was like, this is ridiculous. But 3 years actually went by really fast in my mind.
It did feel like it went through really very fast. But I feel like we fought a lot because, well, one, when I moved to LA, I had just moved out of my parents' house, right? So it was my first time becoming independent. I was essentially coming into your world because you were already established here. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of me that also felt like I was trying to learn about who I was, become fully independent, while also trying to be this like perfect person or this image of this person that I thought you wanted me to be. So with that, I think you also coming out of your relationship, which was a good relationship, you also were looking at me as this person that couldn't have any flaws.
Yeah, I think because of the relationship that I had just come out of, I was looking at you as like, you better be worth the fact that I'm not in that relationship anymore. And that definitely brought some very high, unrealistic expectations and very like a short fuse of what I was tolerant of. And that was really, really unhealthy and unfair for sure. But yeah, that's what led to us starting again, breaking up, starting again, breaking up. Yeah.
Also, I feel like with dating these days, like we have so many options, right? Even with just like a swipe of a hand, anything that we weren't happy or satisfied about the other person, we'd always think in our minds like, oh, there's probably someone else that could fill this thing and be good at this thing, right? Like, for example, like when I moved in to your place, dishes were a big thing, because if dishes were left over, what we tended to do was like extrapolate that and make that and project who we would be as like a future wife or future husband.
You did stay over a lot, and I would see habits of yours that I, yeah, like you said, projected.
Right.
Do you feel like that was a result of the place you were in your life? You were older, you were looking for a permanent partner. Like, were you, did you have these expectations for previous partners?
No, definitely not. And I think, like I said, because it was difficult getting out of the previous relationship. And again, like I said, like I was like, you have to be worth it. You have to be so good that it's undeniable why I'm with you, right? And this was obviously like my own insecurities, my own guilt that I was putting onto her to justify my actions, right? So it was very unfair. And that's why whenever we broke up, I would think back to that. I can't believe I got mad at her over a fucking vacuum.
Yeah.
So I would come back to her and be like, hey, take me back. Let's try again. And then something else would happen. And yeah.
Yeah. And Mel and I were pretty close back then too. And she would see all that I was going through and through all the breakups with you. And she'd be like, yeah, I'm like, he's not good for you. You deserve better. Like, someone will accept you for that vacuum shit.
It's so funny because, I mean, obviously I knew Phil before I knew Helen. So I was like, kind of like Team Phil because by association. And so when I got close to Helen, I heard all this stuff. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is so random. I was like, no, don't get back with him.
Was it weird for you to find these things about me? Because like, yeah, you saw me first as a fan, then a boss, then a friend. And then now you're like, wait, this is a guy like that does this, like, you know, was that weird?
It was a little weird because I think I still saw you as like that boss role versus like a friend.
Yeah.
But then Helen, I really was a friend with her. And so when I saw this stuff, I feel like in a sense I humanized you also as a person. But at the same time, I was like, oh, like, to be honest, like this shining light I used to view as kind of like dimmed a little.
Yeah, got dull.
You know, it got dull. And then obviously, like I told Helen, like, I don't know if you... Because I saw how much, like, Helen's light kind of turned on for me as I became her friend. So I was like, oh, you don't need this. Like, let your light keep shining brighter.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think I learned a lot just, like, watching you guys progress in your relationship. Like, yeah, you guys don't have vacuum fights anymore, I hope.
What's interesting is that I never, like, fought so much with any of my other boyfriends except for you. And I think it's because my ex-boyfriends, when they were with me, they saw me as, like, the absolute, like, cream of the crop. Like, but then when it came to you, you saw me as, like, a potential something, you know?
Ugh, sorry. Now that I think about it, I'm like, that would suck.
But at the same time, I feel like my ex-boyfriends were very, like,
comfortable.
Be supportive of me, of whatever I wanted to do. But I never felt pushed towards one direction or another to try and extend myself into the next realm of what I could be.
Yeah.
So Philip was the first one. And I recognized this too. And then again, I think it was those like rose-colored glasses to be like, that is something I think is very important in a relationship. Because for you to see my potential more than I could see it in myself was like a very strong thing for me. And something that I think is very important in a relationship.
So you saw that like, in retrospect, you could see that as like really toxic, but you kind of saw it as, oh, wow, like I appreciate someone for the first time seeing like me in this way, I guess.
Right.
When it's positioned as challenging versus putting someone down, right? And when you're talking about like seeing someone.
Yeah, I wasn't like saying like you're you're so worthless. Like, you could be so great. Why do you suck so much? I didn't say like I wasn't.
But obviously, like from a place where I'm just learning about who I am, that does come off that way for someone who's in a place where she's not certain about who she is and she's still finding her way. That it's gonna come off, even if you're trying to say it in the nicest way possible. For me, it's just like the feeling of just I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not enough. I don't know who I'm. I don't know. Like, I don't have the path that I can even go on because I don't know what path to take.
But do you think it would be good advice to other people where it's like, I mean, I think a good relationship and a good partnership is when two people do push each other to be better versions of themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I think it's important to say that both people need to want to be better. There needs to be a mutual like accepting of whatever is being pushed. Like, you can't. I don't want it to come off like we're saying that, you know, you can change your partner. That's not the right mentality. But in a good relationship, I do think both parties should be open to changes if there's good reasons. And I think between Helen and myself, we both knew that we had weaknesses and we both wanted to be better for each other.
Right. And I think it has to be self-initiated too. If one person doesn't want to change and the other is pushing for it, then clearly that's not a relationship that's going to last.
But it wasn't like you were looking at your partner wanting them to change. It was them wanting to change themselves and then you wanting to be there to support them along the way. So that's when it makes sense to kind of like weather that storm, right?
Yeah. I think it was a little lopsided in the beginning.
First, I was trying to just untangle like, so the positive thing is wanting a partner that challenges you, right? Mm. But then on the flip side, sometimes that can be seen as toxic. Like where your girlfriend's coming to you and saying like, this guy who is making you feel like you're not enough, like that's not a good quality.
Right. So a lot of the first friends that I had here in LA, they knew Philip. And I think because of how much we fought, they didn't like him. I went home and I would like complain about this, obviously just having girl talk with my friends. And they would also be like, you deserve so much better. You're like Mel was saying, right? Like, you're amazing and you shouldn't have to put up with this. And I do feel like throughout all of our arguments, I don't know, there was a part of me that always just wanted to come back to him. And I think with like any couples, when they fight, obviously it's two-sided. And if one person decides that they don't want to deal with it anymore, they can just walk away, right? But it always seemed like for both me and Philip, we always wanted to choose to come back to one another and like give it a try again.
So you felt you saw potential in him, like, because on the surface it could look like it's like, oh, he's just someone that's always going to make me feel like I'm not enough, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like for your girlfriends, you would advise them to not continue. Right. But then the thing that makes it different is that you saw that there was some internal things that he was dealing with and that he had the desire to address those things.
Yeah. Right. I think that's that you hit it on the head right there. I think you knew that it wasn't coming from a place of just me being an asshole.
Right.
I was very open. We went through very much together of like what my internal struggle was in terms of like my guilt and shame and the turmoil I was going through in terms of my baggage. So I think she knew that as soon as I got over that or figured that out, I would be a great boyfriend, you know? And that's what she was holding on to. And that's what also I was holding on to because I wanted that too. And so I definitely let her know like, hey, I'm trying, but I guess it wasn't enough at certain points. But I was very much aware that she would like her friends didn't like me, you know, like and that made me feel even more like shit, you know. And so that just all compounded onto this guilt of like, okay, you're not good for her, you're not the right place, and that's why we would break up, right? And then I would try to, you know, work on myself a little bit more and then come back. And that's another thing too, like I think another reason why we kept coming back to each other is because it's not like in between I was just dating anyone, you know, like, and just I was just having fun. Okay, clearly this guy's like a bachelor and he's just messing with you, or he's a fuckboy. Even when we were off, it was very clear that I was trying to work on myself. So I just want to draw that line that if there are girls out there that are listening and they have a girlfriend that's like, that has a guy that's going on and off with her, we're not saying like, oh, it could be like a Phil and Helen situation. Like, it really depends on what the guy's doing, like when they're off, right?
Yeah. True.
That is very indicative of his true intentions and where he's at.
No, I 100% agree with that. All right, so Helen, I remember actually very distinctly when you were off and you're single, I think obviously like I heard the stories as a friend, like how you and Phil were on and off and like he made you feel like sometimes you weren't enough. I think you also knew that internally, that you're like, I don't want to deal with this kind of bullshit, because you're like, I'm so enough, like I'm gonna like enjoy my life and like try to be independent. Like, you went on dates with the other guy, so like, you know, get yourself out there.
One other guy. Yes.
So I guess like my question is like, what was going through your mind as you were going through this like off period with Phil?
Yeah, I mean, I think like there were a couple times. So in terms of the breakups, like I initiated some of the breakups and then he initiated some of the other ones. But when I did it, it was more like in my mind, I knew that I was like, oh, I knew it was a good catch. I felt like I was on top of my own world, but I wasn't on top of his world. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, like I didn't want to deal with, because I knew that he was also going through a lot of like emotional turmoil and a lot of just finding himself, that I knew that if I stayed, I wouldn't be helping him go through that journey, because I would only handicap it, and because he would see me as someone that would stay with him regardless if he was in turmoil or not in turmoil, right? So that kind of keeps you in a place where you're like, it's okay to be sad, and it's okay to be emotional, and it's okay to not figure myself out because you still want to be with me anyway.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. I do remember there were times where I flagged that too, where I was like, if you're putting up with this, that's actually hurting me.
Yeah.
And because then I feel like I can get away with anything. Yeah. Right. And that's really, really bad.
And it's going back to that, having a partner that challenges you, right? So that was something that she called out about you, that you knew you don't want to be with someone who would put up with that.
The other thing too, I think, is guys and girls deal with this, but I think girls might deal with this more, but there's this idea of like savior mentality where I think girls feel like they can change the guy, and I can be the reason why he changes, and I can save him from his whatever inner turmoil or whatever. And I see that in my other friends or other couples before, and I'm like, this is so bad. Like, you shouldn't be the reason why he does that. Vice versa, she shouldn't be the reason why you do that, right? But I think that's a little leftover from like my nice guy days, where I used to believe like, oh, see, nice girls date bad boys because they feel like they can change them or whatever. And I think that there was a little bit of that.
I definitely felt that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you would break up with him. So there were moments where you were like, this isn't something I'm going to put up with, and I'm not going to save you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was very difficult in my mind to just like make that mental shift too, knowing that like I did want to be with the good part of you so badly and the person who is like quote unquote fixed from what he was going through. But I also knew that, yeah, you just needed to go on your journey by yourself. And timing, as much as timing I thought was like perfect for us because we were finally single, finally on the same coast and dating and all of that, it just was not the right timing. And timing played such a big role in our relationship.
So it sounds like we've heard Helen's perspective on all of these kind of on-again, off-again breaks that you guys had. Phil, what was going through, like, how were those experiences for you?
Yeah, it wasn't good. It sucked. And part of it was, you know, knowing that I was hurting someone. And I felt like we were keeping ourselves in a really just toxic situation. I remember, you know, whenever I, like, prior to Helen, if I had friends that were in on and off again cycles, I would be like, dude, the writing's on the wall. Like, what are you doing this for, right? And I still sort of feel that way. But I think, you know, on my side, I wanted it to be her so bad because of just, I mean, it's her. Like, there's just, like, it's Helen. She's amazing. She's smart. She's accomplished. She's gorgeous. She's fun. But for some reason, I just couldn't get over the hump of just like, are you ready to give her all of you, right?
And so it was a lot of just, it's your own personal getting over like the elevation of what a partner should be,
right?
Things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And letting go of a past, I think. And whether it was a past of like, not just necessarily a specific person, but also like a lifestyle or a mindset, right? And I think that's actually just how powerful my connection or attraction to Helen was, is that she just, from the little bit of time that we did spend together, she just took up so much mental and emotional real estate that even when I was like trying to get away, like I just couldn't. And we were just always drawn back to each other. And I felt really hopeless, almost like that I was never going to get away from her. Almost like I wanted to get away, but I couldn't, you know? And it's because I think practically speaking, I knew how great she was. Like all those things that she just listed, like, oh, I'm a great catch. I knew that. Objectively speaking, I was like, yeah, this is an amazing girl. It's like, Phil, why can't you just buy into that completely? Right? Why can't you allow yourself to be happy and just enjoy the fact that this amazing girl wants to be with you or wants to give you another chance, right? And that was something that I think my guilt wouldn't allow me to fully, I guess,
to fully
accept.
Fall in love, essentially.
Yeah. But, you know, thankfully, you know, I think she saw my true intentions, and thankfully, you know, I wisened up eventually and she gave me a chance. And I'll say this, like, I know it might sound like, you know, Helen has kind of just been like at my beck and call or whatever, but like, I think the true test of me showing how much I'm trying to prove myself to her came after we got back together, actually, because I knew how much I had hurt her, you know, and I knew that I had to prove myself as a worthy partner. Maybe in the beginning when she was figuring herself out, it might seem like, oh yeah, like Helen, like why would you put up with this guy? But like nowadays, it's like that first year after we were like truly, truly back on, like, it was me, like, just trying to show and be the best boyfriend I could be to prove to her that I was different and that I had changed for her, you know? Which I don't know if that reinforces the savior thing, but, like, it was... I don't think it does, because I came to those realizations, like, on my own without you forcing me.
Yeah, it sounded like you were dealing with a lot of internal conflict where you were... It was like a head versus heart thing, maybe?
Yes,
and
definitely.
You weren't, so you were feeling love for her and then trying to push her away because maybe you were scared.
Yes. I was scared. I was definitely coming from a place where all relationships fail. You know, like, there's no way that anything can last. I'm going to disappoint her again. I'm going to hurt her just like I've hurt everyone else. I don't deserve her. And it was just very unhealthy, you know? Personally speaking, I think that's just the type of person I am that takes on a lot of those emotions, and I overthink and overanalyze why relationships fail. And
that's why you can also create such great content.
Right? Thanks. I mean, yeah, I guess that's a gift and a curse, I guess, but I definitely had to learn how to partition those feelings, right? It's like there was a period of time where I was like, I have to be sad in order for me to, like, have access to those emotions so that I could write, or so that I could, you know, be the
that
persona.
That annoyed me so much when you would say that. You'd be like, I need to live in these sad emotions. I'm like, get over yourself. Yeah. Like, we need to figure us out first before you can stay in those sad emotions.
But, like, obviously, I think you guys went through a lot, and, like, you guys went through kind of like a tumultuous time in your first 3 years of trying to figure things out. But then I think it was after our Asia trip, because me and Helen went to Asia together, and it was like, woo, so much fun. And, of course, during our trip, Helen's will be like, oh, let me check your phone. Has Phil checked my Instagram? I'm like, okay, fine.
Oh, because you didn't want me to see that you checked.
Yeah, yeah. So I would look on Mel. Oh, I would look on Mel's phone to look at your Snapchat was big for us back then. But I didn't want you to see that I looked at your story. And I know you did that to me too.
Yeah. No, because during that time you guys are still, like, I guess considered off, but you're still working through things. And I remember also during our trip, I was checking my story. I was like, dang, Phil's watching a lot of my stories, and I wonder why. So I just knew. But then I think after that trip is when you guys actually came, like, it was solid after that trip, because I think you guys were able to hash things out a little bit better.
Well, that I would say that yes, that was like end of 2016. That's kind of when that was the last time we got back together. We didn't break up or we didn't split off since then. So yeah, it's been about 3 years.
Asian Boss Girl is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes for creators, entrepreneurs, and curious people everywhere. You can take classes in marketing where you learn how to grow your community and work with brands, or classes about how to get your podcast off the ground. So whether you're picking up a new skill for your day job, figuring out your next side project, or pursuing a long-time passion, Skillshare has classes for you. As someone who is just getting into the wedding planning process, I've done a bit of research, and Skillshare has a plethora of amazing classes to help any new bride. From modern brush calligraphy to increasing wedding planning productivity to tips for the first dance, Skillshare has something for me and for you. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months free. That's right. Skillshare is offering Asian Boss Girl listeners 2 months free of unlimited access to thousands of classes. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/ABG. Again, go to skillshare.com/ABG to start your 2-month free trial now. That's skillshare.com/ABG.
Being a friend watching you guys go through all that and then seeing you guys now, like, before, you know, tell him, I'm just like, why are you with this dude? But now, like, even the past 3 years, I've seen, like, I see this attraction that's, like, kind of undeniable, and I feel it. And part of me is always like, how does he still feel it after all these years? Like, I do feel that way. So my question for you now is, like, obviously you guys are engaged. Like, you know, were there moments when you knew you wanted to marry this person or each other?
In, like, the most unromantic way you said that to me. Do you remember what you said to me?
What did I say?
You said, I don't think there's anyone else that I want to go through this with, or something like that. So it was like kind of like almost like a negative, like, confirmation instead of like, you're the person that I want to be with.
You're the only person that I feel like I could go through what we just went through.
Yeah.
If you think, something like that. I mean, just think about it. Like, this entire, like, episode so far has been us talking about, like, how difficult it was. Yeah. And I knew that. I think there's part of it that sounds like very practical and negative, but there's also something where it's like, I'm putting my foot down, and I'm just like, look, it's, nothing's going to be easy in life. And if we're going to have, if it's not going to be easy, I'd rather be not easy with you.
that's kind of romantic.
God, so unromantic.
Wasn't that the quote that Mel talks about where it's like, life is suffering, but it's about choosing who and what is worth suffering for, right?
Yeah, so that absolutely applies to her. I feel like
I just don't want to, I think people perceive Wong Fu or me as like this super like romantic person or whatever, but no, I'm actually very, very realistic. And I don't want to come on this podcast and give you guys like this flowery, like, dude, Helen, I met 10 years ago and I always knew that she'd be the one. And, and you know, like it's, I want people to know that relationships and love and,
are difficult. The choice
to get engaged is very important, very, very heavy, right?
Well, I think we also did a lot of things just like backwards, right? Like, I feel like we started a lot of arguments, started a lot of just like questioning each other. And we like brought up everything, that we did not like about the other person. It like surfaced up and then we talked about it and we talked through it. And I do feel like that does happen more in like marriage than during maybe the dating, because we didn't go through like a puppy love phase.
We went straight into marriage phase.
I mean,
you were always very sad that we actually technically don't have a date for like when we first started dating.
That's okay. Yeah. We have an engagement date now.
I guess so, yeah.
I guess my question is like, really, like, I think, Philip, you know, you're a director, you're a writer. There was no moment like where Helen was like, maybe like watering your plants and you're like, I want to marry her in this moment.
See, this is me. I'm breaking that imagery apart. I guess the truth is that there isn't. I think it was our entire journey that just built more and more, like almost like you're adding cement to a foundation, you know, like, so there was like this, a little stick that was in the ground that was like, you know, very weak. And we just kept weathering the storm, putting more and more things around it to make it more protected, to a point where, you know, eventually we got to this like really strong structure. And I was like, wait, this seems like the strength of a structure that I think a marriage should be, you know, like it kind of happens so gradually.
Yeah.
Cause
there's not one moment. Yeah.
Cause if you like, not to bring things more down, but yeah, those first 3 years were difficult, but these last 3 years weren't easy either. Mm. Like I said, like, you know, it was just a perspective change. We've still, you know, had a lot of conflict and we've still argued and everything, but the way we argue now is so much more different. Mm-hmm. Right. And our intentions for the arguments And for coming back together, and forgiveness is so much different too.
Yeah. One thing that I had mentioned earlier was like the whole not feeling like I was enough or being this person that I didn't know who I was. And I think the past 3 years, I've really started to own my identity and really understand myself, like every aspect of myself,
right?
Physical, mental, like everything. And that does absolutely contribute to me feeling ready to be in a relationship and ready to be loved too.
Right.
And another more like fun thing about how I knew is like being able to fart around you. You have to be yourself. You have to like let, you know, I used to be afraid to be silly around you because I think you saw me as like, oh, if she's going to be a potential like wife, she needs to be so put together and you know, can take care of kids and not act like a kid. And like, I act like a kid all the time. Like a kid. I'm like stupid, silly.
And you guys have no idea, her farts are ridiculous.
I heard.
I'm actually like,
we do.
Oh, you've heard her farts?
No, amongst the three, she's not the most deadliest one. So.
Oh, really? But she's the loudest.
No. Oh, really?
She might not be the most potent.
Oh, I don't let it out that loud here.
Oh my god.
So she's most comfortable on you still.
Okay, yeah.
But I think it's being able to fully be yourself and know that someone accepts you for all the silly, stupid, smelly parts of you. And also that, you know, I think you are incredibly in love with who I am right now in this moment. Mm-hmm. And sure, that icing can come also later on, but that's something that you're not like, you're waiting for it, but you're not like impatient for it.
Yeah. And I think that's a perspective that I gained where I think before with previous relationships, it was like, you need to be who I want right now. Right. And then with marriage, it's like, as long as the base ingredients of compatibility are there, marriage is a long game, right? It's a very, very long journey. And I mean, I said it in my proposal. It's like in that journey, like there's going to be a lot to explore, and I want to explore it with you. It's not like when did I realize that this was a woman I wanted to get married to? It's more like, when did I realize that this was like the partner that I wanted in my life, right? Where it's like, oh, like we have the qualities of a great partnership and you're a great teammate. And it's great that, you know, the intimacy is awesome, right? But it's like, there's a bigger picture to be accomplished. Mm-hmm. And I think when I started seeing us as a unit that could weather storms, that could be silly, that could be unapologetic in our emotions, like when I started feeling like, yeah, very comfortable, like you're saying, yeah. you know, like, and very much myself, like, that's kind of, I guess, when I knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that with, you know, other, you know, relationships. And if you think about it, you know, she basically had already seen the worst of me. And when I saw that she was accepting me for those flaws, showing me so much love by sticking with me, it really motivated me to get myself out of that negative place. And that essentially taught me a new definition of love. I learned a new way to love through her. And I think when I felt that, or when I noticed that, I knew we had something really special that I wanted to build on.
That's really sweet.
See? Aww. See, it's not all robotic. It can be sweet.
You have emotion. There's
some sweetness.
That was sweet.
All right, Phil, I think you brought up a really good metaphor about how you and Helen, you know, built this really good foundation of this house. Like, you put up the concrete, the walls, and all this stuff. But then my question is, like, now, when did you know it was time to build a roof, aka propose to this girl? Like, why did you decide it was this year you wanted to propose to Helen versus why not next year or the year before?
I think what happened in my mind was I started having less excuses to not do it. Does that make sense?
It's always like the negative, like, reinforcement.
Sorry, or just like, sorry, I had more and more reasons to.
Thank you. That sounds a lot better.
Whereas, like, I think, you know, like, let's, if we're using the last 3 years that we've been steady or whatever, the first year I think was healing.
Healing and adapting. Yeah, a lot of healing, though.
Mostly agreed. Healing and me trying to prove to you that,
yes.
That I was serious this time and that you can love me. You right. can truly, truly love me.
Right. That can deserve a whole episode in itself, but yes.
Yeah. And I still feel like I'm going to keep trying to prove that to you every day.
Yeah,
you do that. I think the second year was us actually, like, getting comfortable with each other and just, like...
The farting.
Yeah, like, having fun. I think, like becoming more... We put more of a couple, I guess, and being more settled in who we are. And once we were that, then I was like, yeah, this girl is amazing. Like, I've known it since the beginning that this was an amazing girl, right? And now this past year was, like, just reinforcing all those things and now, like I said, like, it was just giving more and more proof that you were the one. Mm-hmm. And I honestly felt like if I were to wait another year, it would be a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Because I would be just getting more and more evidence for what I knew was true.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where things clicked for me. I was like, why waste another year when
we already know?
Or I'm not gonna gain any new perspective in the next year.
And you'll just lose time that you're not married to her.
Exactly. Or that we could be building a family or whatever, right? And so, like, I think some people might wait a little bit. I definitely did this. You wait because you want to see, when does it go sour, right? So, like, I'm going to, like, let's see how, if we can last. I don't want to post about her on social media because who knows where we are in a year. I don't want to commit too long because who knows where we are in a couple years, right? I think because we front loaded our relationship with all that turmoil and got over it, to me, there was nothing in the next year or so or however long that was going to be any worse than before.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, it's only going to be either A, good, or things that we're going to get over anyways.
Together, yeah.
So might as well just get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was the guys that I had been with before were good, but I never imagined this level of good, if that makes sense.
Oh, hey.
Like, I never in my mind imagined someone who would actually, like, drive me and who I was so just like...
I literally drive her, like, all the time.
Stupid. Your car's breaking down. You're no longer driving me. But, like, someone who that I felt so just, like, I don't know, someone that I'm so inspired by, right? I never thought that I would be so inspired by my significant other. And when it got to that level, and also the feeling of comfort and feeling like my favorite part of the day is literally just waking up next to you and falling asleep next to you. And I was just like, I don't ever want to wake up or fall asleep next to someone else other than you. I think that's when I knew that, like, you were the person that I wanted to do that for the rest of my life with. As, like, cheesy and shit as that sounds.
Well, now you're making me feel like I wasn't cheesy. I feel like all of our answers, like, I'm like the practical reasons and you're the emotional reasons. I swear to God, I do have emotional reasons.
Okay? Maybe that's out, why you guys work.
Yeah,
right?
They come out in Instagram captions. Yeah. Okay?
We all read those.
There and he reads it to me.
Just and she works in finance. It's just very logic driven and stuff. So
Right? On the professional side, she's very, very pragmatic. Obviously, you know, the emotions were clearly there, and that's why, like, these last 3 years we've been building. But for sure, the reason why I even had the confidence of, like, oh yeah, like, of course we should just move on because I it's only going to get better, is because all those things, like, were finally clear to me, right, without obstruction. And when I saw those things unfiltered, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe I'm so lucky to have all these things in a person. I think a lot of guys, what they struggle with before they settle down or before they get married is like they're worried about giving up their freedoms and like, you know, wanting to meet new girls all the time or whatever. And novelty has definitely been something that has tempted me in the past. But like with Helen, novelty has almost like no power anymore. Like because of what I feel like I'd be giving up, which is so great. It's just nothing's worth giving that up, you know, so there's just too many qualities that are going to be hard to replicate, or combinations of the practical and the physical and the emotional, that I just don't think that it's worth taking a chance losing you to go see if there's a better combination. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Does that make sense?
No, that was, for some that was like such a practical compliment.
That still sounded really practical, right?
But no, it worked on me because I think when you're, because I feel like I get it though. Because
but it's your robotic way of saying she's the one.
Wait, no, I didn't. Because I didn't read it as robotic.
Oh. Jenny, you're such a dick.
No, no, I mean I think the same way. So that's
right.
I think it's just really true though. I think I name a bunch of dudes that
they
chase so many of this stuff, and like when you're talking about it, come from a really real place.
Yeah.
And I think it, for me, if you know, if we're, you know, trying to like relate this to Oprah, it's a tweetable quote because I think it's really relatable. And I feel like that says a lot because I think you see, you know, we have guy friends, we have our friends who go through this, but the fact that you found someone, you're like, you know what? I don't care for that anymore.
Right. I feel like I get the privilege of entering the next phase of love. You know, it's like high school versus college. Mm-hmm. Or if anything, now it's like college versus like, I'm going to head into like my PhD, right?
Yeah.
And why would I want to stick around and be a super senior in high school?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
Me too.
Right? When you talk to like a high schooler, those are the fuckboys that are like, dude, like this is so much fun. Like I get to be with whoever.
I can get as many girls as I want.
I get as many girls. Yes. Novelty, 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 right? And for me, I'm thinking of like, dude, I want to graduate. Right? I want to expand my knowledge of love and emotions, right? And to me, the only way to get there is to be committed to one person and to build a life with one person,
yeah,
right? There's so many other things to figure out. So
you're really good with the analogies.
Too much. I feel like the analogies make it seem like it's that practicalness or whatever.
I mean, I got it.
Yeah, that's sweet. I'm glad you're there.
Have you ladies ever had a UTI? For those who don't know, a UTI is an infection in your urinary tract. They aren't STDs, but can have some of the same symptoms. They're incredibly uncomfortable, and when you have one, all you can think about is getting treatment stat. Luckily, there's ScanWell Health. It's the only at-home UTI test with same-day treatment options. You'll know if you have a UTI in 2 minutes and can connect with a healthcare provider who can prescribe treatment immediately. All you need is the app and their test kit. Some studies estimate that over half of all women experience UTIs, so if you don't suffer from them, you probably know someone who does. Using ScanWell is so easy. No crazy emergency room bills, you don't need insurance, and the test doesn't expire for 2 years, so you can keep it in your medicine cabinet for those just-in-case moments. ScanWell is the same test used in hospitals and emergency rooms and offers the same accuracy as a test you'd take in your doctor's office. Normally, the tests cost $15, but ABG listeners can get the test kit for free. Just pay for shipping. Open up your browser and type in scanwellhealth.com/ABG to order your free test kit. That's scanwellhealth.com/ABG. One kind of like aspect of knowing when you're ready for marriage that people talk about is just personally you feel like a biological clock ticking or something. Mm-hmm. Did that play a role for either of you?
You know what? It did a little bit for me. It was more like I just wanted to make sure that I found the right person, right? If you weren't going to be the right person, then I wouldn't have forced it.
Mm.
But there, it got to a point where I was like, yeah, I would never want to wake up to someone else other than you.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it was right for me. And also, my mom had my sister at like 20, like 22 or 23, mm-hmm. right? And that was like, and now I'm already 30-something. So it's 10
already
years
super
after.
Late already. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so in my mind, I am thinking about that because I know, you know, once you hit 33, 34, 35, a lot of people start doing the IVF and like all of this stuff. And with social media now, you know that there are a lot of complications out there that women don't talk about. And it's good to be very well informed about these things. And so in my mind, I'm like, I want kids immediately.
I do too.
Yeah. After we get married, I'm sure like the kids are going to come very soon because we want.
Hopefully, God willing. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because we do want to build a family. And so
I used to joke that I was actually more ready to have kids than get married.
Same. So for me, I think I would rather have kids than get married because when you're a pregnant woman, you can kind of just like you know, order someone to get you pickles and chocolate cake and all that, and just like, you know, let something thrive in you, have it, and then just take care of it. Versus for a wedding, you gotta like plan all this stuff out, make sure everyone else is happy. It's more like external things, making sure other people are having fun. And then pregnancy is like all about you.
Believe it or not, like, I also did feel the biological clock, not at such a literal level as it is for women, but like, I definitely did think about how my parents are getting older and I wanted them to partake in my marriage and my grandkids' life because it would bring them joy as well. So I was like, oh man, I think I've lived selfishly enough as this son out there in the world. Like, it's time to bring a little bit back and give back to them. And then also, yeah, I looked into the future too, and I was like, you know what? Like, even though I'm not ready per se right now to have kids, I just know that like my 70-year-old self will be happy I started at this age, or my 60-year-old self will be happy, right? So like, you can't fast forward growing the organism of a child, right? So you just gotta start that process
as soon as possible.
I'm excited to see you guys go through the next part of this your relationship, which is the wedding planning process.
Oh, I'm so not.
You have not done anything yet, sir.
It's been, you know what the thing is?
It's been a week.
I love going to weddings. And actually, like, when I think about our wedding, I'm like, dude, our wedding would be so much fun to go to.
To go to.
And then I'm attend, like,
get drunk at our wedding.
And I'm just like, oh, wait, I have to plan it?
Be alive for it. Yeah, no, be awake and functional.
You know what's funny? The first thing I think of when I think of planning, I was like, Phil, are you ready to pay this big check or this big bill for this huge party you're about to throw?
Can we do some ABG sponsored post real quick? Can you help us out?
Kim Wong Fu? Yeah.
If anyone is out there and wants to sponsor this wedding. Yeah.
You know, besides the paycheck or the big bill that's coming your way, Phil or and Helen, like, what have you guys done in terms of the wedding process? Like, what have you guys planned?
Yeah, what have you planned, Philip?
Well, am I supposed to have stuff planned?
Well, okay, I will say what I've done. I went to Barnes & Noble.
Okay,
and I
you're
got...
bragging now. Okay,
what?
You
went to Barnes & Noble?
Well, yes. And I looked at the wedding book from The Knot. They actually have a lot of stuff
really
in there.
Good, The Knot.
But there's like, here, let me bring out my journal.
I've never heard of these things ever.
The Knot is a really big wedding website.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there going to be open bar? That's all I care about.
Helen literally just like whipped out her journal right now.
Because there's so much to consider. And I feel like this is very overwhelming, especially if we want a wedding next year. And there's a lot of like 2020 weddings going on right now, apparently. And we haven't booked the venue yet. So I'm already kind of freaking out. But let me just read you like a couple of things that you need to consider.
Go quick. Make it fast.
There's like...
how this pause is going to go.
This is how it's going to go. Oh my God. Okay. So ready? Guest list, engagement photos, save the dates, wedding venue, witnesses for City Hall, a bachelorette party, wedding dress, wedding shoes, and a spare pair, wedding accessories, hair, jewels, veil, wedding rings. Do we want to get it engraved? A car to drive away from? drive away with, I mean. Vows, officiator, the menu and table gift, music and first dance, parents.
All right. We get the point. There's a lot to do.
There's a lot of like, there's like 50 topics. And within each topic, there are subtopics.
To be honest, I think a lot of those that you just said are just yes and no checkboxes that we can figure out. God. No, I really do. Do we want a car? Yes or no? If it's a no, we don't have to do
it. Yes, right? Like what kind? You know, what
that's fine. That's a quick conversation. I think in my y'all, your guys' eyes are like, what? In my mind, the biggest thing, once we have the venue set, I think everything will go a lot smoother. Because then they will have parameters of things that have
to
be anyways,
true.
Right?
You
so
should.
Once there's limits...
So are you taking, are you volunteering to figure out the venue?
Yes, I think he is.
I think that's what I just heard, lady.
Actually, when you're in the Bay, maybe you should start taking a look at venues in that area because you're going up for Thanksgiving.
He should do it by himself. You guys should do it together.
Here's the thing. I think that, because you're worried that, oh my God, 2020 weddings, there's so many going on right now. We're not going to get a spot. There's a very easy way to fix this.
Oh God.
Wednesday wedding.
Oh my God. You keep talking about Wednesday wedding.
Every venue will be available on a Wednesday, guys.
Actually, they might not be. They might be closed.
Wait, why Wednesday versus like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday?
Because alliteration. I love alliteration.
Oh, I see it.
I'm saying this all with like a little bit of... I know it's not going to happen. I just think it's fun to tease them. But
a little bit.
But really, though, that would solve a lot of problems.
I guess, but my question for you is, like, you have to figure out the guest list before you can lock down your venue, because the capacity count at the venue.
Freaking Mel created a guest list for us already.
I'm just planning ahead because I know these little things are going to come up if I don't present to you.
Because you know what? And what's crazy is that you made a list of just our mutual friends, right?
I know.
It's not even friends of, like, her family, mm-hmm. my high school friends.
My college
like,
friends, yeah.
And the list that just you made was already, like...
Over 100. Here's the story. After they got engaged, the next day at the airport, I gave them an Excel sheet. I said, hey, this is a breakdown. There's Boston friends, Bay Area friends, LA friends, family, all this stuff. And then I go, this is what I think, who I think you're going to invite. We're at 100. Please feel free to edit and adjust according to what you guys think. But just an FYI, because that capacity count will let you know which venue to get, how many people to invite, and all, you know, it just kind of helps you.
That's true. I mean, I do appreciate you putting that together, because that is the first step, right? Coming up with the wedding guests and the number, because you had to book your venue based on the number of guests.
Exactly.
And I think you instilled, because at first I wanted a destination wedding. My sister got married in Hawaii and it was so beautiful, and I've had really fun weddings in like Costa Rica and other destination places. So I wanted that at first, but then Philip did not. And I think it wasn't until he saw the guest list that he was like, maybe we should do a destination wedding now.
I think right now you guys are obviously still in like the beginning processes of planning. Yeah. Well, the question, you know, Jan and I probably have is like, so when are you going to, you know, solidify your like bridal party?
Mel has a lot of questions.
Janet's like, don't include me on this.
That is one of the very frequent questions that Mel asks all the time.
No, it's funny.
Probably daily.
Daily.
No. It's going to be a bridal party.
So I think, as you can tell, there's a lot more to discuss, which I'm sure we're going to be covering on many episodes in the coming seasons. But for today, thank you, Helen and Phil, for opening up to us. We know that what you guys are talking through is not easy to talk about, but we really appreciate it. We know our listeners appreciate you guys sharing all of the variety of things that you learn about each other and about yourselves through your relationship to get to this amazing next stage in your life. And we could not be happier to be a part of it. So
thank you. Thank you. And I just want to reiterate that this is just our specific story. Like, you know, it's not like advice that everyone can just say, like, this is how they did it, so this is how we should do it. Like, you know, take everything that we said with a grain of salt, for sure.
And then I know also, for me, like, I wanted to talk about sort of the nitty-gritty of our relationship and how we started. Because we could easily just have been like, oh, yeah, it was great this whole time, you know? Like, everyone wants that, like, princess story, fairy tale, like, relationship before getting married. But with, you know, ABG and just even understanding myself and where I am today, there's a lot of being vulnerable and being able to share stories that are sometimes not as, like, flowery and sparkly. So yeah, for anyone else out there going through just like a lot of shit, like, sometimes that shit can turn into something beautiful too. Just very, very thankful that the girl that was Helen 6 years ago now has a rock on her finger from the same guy, and we're in a very different place now. I'm very thankful for it.
Me too. And I appreciate you girls for being good friends with her throughout. The fact that we had so many friends intertwined was definitely something that, you know, kept us in each other's circles, in each other's minds, in each other's DMs. You know? Like, so friends are really, really important, you know, when it comes to a successful relationship. So I really appreciate you ladies.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, give us a rating or review, and also a subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and all of the other podcasting platforms. And
we're also very active on social media. You can find us at Asian Bosser on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a magnet emoji in our latest Instagram post.
Sorry, what?
A magnet?
Oh, that's
for attraction.
Yeah. Your attraction.
We just couldn't get away from each other.
Yeah. Should those be our party favors?
Oh, that's
so cute.
That's funny.
So any magnet sponsored. We're just kidding.
All right, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.